About 3 o'clock one morning, I heard a knock at the door. "Who is there?" called my grandfather. "Me," said the voice. "Open." Listening, I heard my grandfather opening the door. "Is that you, Sean?" said he. It was Sean Liam. "My mother died a half an hour ago." "Musha, the blessing of grace with her soul," said my grandfather. "Come in and sit down." When I heard what they were saying, my blood turned. It seemed as if all who had ever died were outside the window, and old Kate Liam among them. If a mouse or even a beetle made the slightest stir, I thought it was she. The night was as black as pitch. The two men were sitting by the fire talking about old Kate, and if they were not praising her, 'tisn't day yet. "Isn't it a strange thing that everyone who dies gets great praise from people? I wondered why. Then a thought came into my head. It's from fear. They're afraid. If they abuse the dead man, he would come before them in the night." My thoughts were scattered by the sound of my grandfather rising from his chair. "Alice Shawn," he was saying, "isn't it quickly she went in the end?" "That is the way with death," said Sean. I lay listening and thinking till I fell asleep. Then I woke up and listened to hear if they were still talking. I could hear nothing but the sound of the waves. I was seized again with a feeling of mystery and hid my head under the blanket. Then, however, it happened. I peeped out of the window. I gave a start. Two shining eyes were peering in at me. My blood turned as cold as ice. The eyes were staring at me. Old Kate's eyes. I let out a scream which put the whole house in confusion. My grandfather came in. "Who screamed?" "Look at the window," said I, my eyes still fixed in terror on it. "Musha, God help you," said he. "What is that but the cat, you silly creature?" The next morning was fine, with a light easterly breeze. My grandfather looked out. "Praise be to God on high," said he, raising his hat. "The day is keeping fine for the sake of old Kate, dear God bless her soul." "It is indeed, God be praised." "I'll go east now to the house of the dead for a while," said he.
"I'll go with you," said I.
A sort of tremble came into my blood as we approached the house, for I had never yet seen a corpse. When we reached the door, my grandfather stopped and spoke softly to me. "When you get in, take off your cap and go down on your knees beside the body and say a prayer for the soul of old Kate. It seemed as if I was inside a mill with the beating of the blood in my head. And when I saw the change that had come upon her, stretched out as straight as a candle and covered with a sheet, I thought she would rise up. My grandfather walked across the floor and went down on his knees. From the doorway I stood, watching him. "God guide me aright," said I to myself. "Now is the time for me to show courage. She would surely get up and eat me." I entered slowly and went down on my knees. But it was not of prayer I was thinking, but watching the body for fear it would make any stir. Then I saw my grandfather getting up, and I rose to my own feet with such a rush that I nearly tripped him over. I sat down on the long bench beside the wall. There was a group of old women around the fire, smoking and chatting. "Musha, dear, God bless her soul," said old Nell, puffing out the smoke through the house. "It's many a good day and many a bad day she saw in her time."
"No doubt of it," said my grandfather.
"The blessing of God be with you," said he, moving towards the door. "Divil take it," said he to me on our way home. "You nearly had me over that time after my prayer. What happened you?" "Musha," said I promise you it is not many prayers I said, but watching the corpse for fear it would rise up." "Ah, my pity for your pate. There's not much sense in it yet." My sister Eileen had the supper ready. "Upon my word," said he, taking off his hat and sitting at the head of the table, "old Kate makes a nice corpse." "Ach, wish," said I, "wouldn't it frighten anyone to look at her?" After supper, I went to the door and looked out. "Look, Dado, the curragh for the wake is coming." The curragh was approaching the quay, the coffin aboard, and everyone, big and small, running down to the slip. I went down and stood at the top, looking on. They lifted the coffin ashore and carried it up. You could see yourself reflected in the polished grain of the wood. I saw the name inscribed on a yellow clasp. "Mrs. Kate Kine, born May 2nd, 1833, died November 1913.
"Musha," said I to myself, "I don't know in the world why they make it so fine, for in 3 days' time it'll be deep in the clay."
The next load to be brought out was a barrel of porter, then a big rough pack of bread and 2 boxes, full of pipes. 4 men were shouldering the barrel and whispering that it would make a fine night's wake. 4 more were under the coffin, all making their way up the path. I went home. My grandfather took out his pipe. "Musha, dear, God bless her soul," said he. "She was a kindly, generous, warm-hearted woman in her prime." Said I, "I'm thinking she would get praise now she's dead, whoever she was." "Oh, that's so," said he. "It's true that the proverb cannot be gainsaid. If you want praise, die. If you want blame, marry." He got up and looked at the clock. "I dare say it's time for us to be making for the House of the Wake." The house was full from end to end, the blaze of light from the candles on the table and the white lamp from the roof. A group of old women at the fire, Sean Father filling the pipes, everyone young and old, smoking, conversing and talking of old Kate. My grandfather put a whisper in my ear. "How are you pleased with the night?" "Delightfully," said I. The barrel was opened, a bucket was handed round. At that moment, the dead woman's son, Sean Liam, came across to my grandfather. "Come up to the room," said he. We followed him, and it was there the goat was roasting, as for stout lumps of old women with pipes as long as bandles in their mouths. "Musha, God bless you, Owen," said Kate Joseph, and I think she was merry with whisky. "Long life to you," said my grandfather, sitting down in a chair. "How are you these days, Kate?" "Musha, I'm middling. Good health to you," said she. "Isn't it quickly Kate Liam went from us in the end?" "Well, that's the way with death, but yourself is in your 3rd march yet, God bless you." Meanwhile, Sean Liam was moving around with a bottle of whisky and a glass. My grandfather drank a glass, and faith, I had got a half one myself and drank it as well as anyone. Maura Tighe pulled out her pipe again, and it passed from woman to woman till the room was full of smoke. I got up and went down to the kitchen. I threw myself among my equals, but I soon grew sick of their senseless chatter. I like better the conversation of the old, and that has been the way with me always. So I went up to the room again, where I found the others as before. After a while, my grandfather got up and looked out through the window. "Faith," said he, "the day is dawning. You better go home in the name of God." I wanted no more than the wind of the word, for I was blind with sleep. "Good night to you all," said he. "May the night prosper with you," said the old women together. Said my grandfather as we left the house, "Those women don't know that it isn't a wedding feast." The next morning my grandfather put out his head through the doorway. Just then, heavy rain began to fall and it started to blow from the northwest. "I'm doubting Kate will spend another day here and maybe 2. God help us, the sea is all in a whirl of foam." No one stirred out that day. But next morning it was so fine you would think a bad day had never come. My grandfather opened the chest and took out a coat, the like of which I had never seen, with a long tail and three buttons behind. I watched him putting it on for the funeral. "Musha, Dado, I never knew you had that." I took hold of the tail of it. It was as stiff as a board of oak. "I suppose you've had it always." "Aramban," said he with a laugh, "I've not always been in the world, but it is a good age. My father left it to me." We walked up towards the house of the dead. He went in among the old men, and I among my comrades. Four men brought out the coffin and rested it on two chairs. The old women gathering around it began to moan, sweet and soft. "All are gone. All are gone." It was for Kate Joseph's voice I listened, for she was reputed to be like a banshee for keening. "Oh, Musha Kate," she began with a fine tune on the words, "isn't it you were the graceful woman, and it's little profit for me to live after you. All are gone. All are gone." When they had finished their keening, I saw them laughing merrily with one another. "Tomás," said I, "do you think they're lonesome at all after all, Kate Liam?" "No more than the seal cow back in Bird Cove." The four men raised the coffin to their shoulders. All followed them. We were at the quay now, the two of us sitting at the top, watching the men busy with the curragh and the oars, till they had the coffin on board. My grandfather came down the path with many others who were unable to go out. He stopped at the top of the slip, looking out at the curragh. "Ah, Musha Kate," he cried, looking out over the sea. "Dear God bless your soul. You were a good companion in a market town." The tears are falling down his cheeks. "Look at your grandfather," whispered Thomas. "He's crying. That is the one who is sorrowful, and not those fickle women." "Yes," said I, "he mourns her."